some of the highlights through the book of Hebrews, and I hope you'll take the time to go ahead and finish that study yourself. Go ahead and take this as sort of a, this is Halloween, I guess I could say this, right? This is the skeleton. Right? Take the skeleton, I hate Halloween, but anyway, take the skeleton and put some meat on it yourself. In other words, go back and if you have some of the notes from the study that we've done, Hebrews to me is one of the most important, it's hard to say it, but to me it is one of the most important books of the Bible. It connects us in such a way from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the Old Covenant in the Law to the New Covenant in Jesus Christ, and it shows us exactly what our theme has been through all of this, that Jesus is better. And here in the last chapter, chapter 13, we're also going to see Jesus as better than certain things. Now, as we've said all along, I don't think there's been any of these things, no, certainly there have not, that we have mentioned, that the book has mentioned, that are bad things. They're all good things, and yet there's always better, and that's always Jesus Christ, always the person of Jesus Christ. And we'll see that in chapter 13. Let me encourage you to one other thing. A number of you have been doing the study after the morning service. We have the lunchtime, and then we have the study time for disciple making. I want to encourage you, first of all, to continue with that. I've had many good comments here from our congregation. I've heard from a lot of other people, too, of how it has actually transformed their thinking in a lot of ways. And so please, it might be a little bit of a sacrifice, but try, if you're not involved in it or if you have been, try to continue in it. Try to take advantage of this, because it is, it's not because the material is extremely, again, extremely deep, or it's the only, you know, only way to study these truths, but these, they're laid out in such a clear, logical, clear, still the best word, way, that, and the process that we've been using. Again, I've heard a number of good comments from you about that, and I think the process is really as important, if not more, than the material that we're using, not counting the Bible, of course. But I think the process is extremely important in that you have something in front of you. You have your Bible, and you have this study book that shows you how to work through these foundational truths of the Bible, and it's laid out there for you in a way that you, yes, you, can bring someone else along in these truths. Anyone sitting here today, I'm convinced of it. If you can read, at least. If you can't read, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but if you can't read, I understand that would be a little more complicated. But if you can simply read, we can make this presentation to you that it will be helpful for you as you grow in the process of making other people into better disciples. You will also, of course, grow in your own way. Now, what we've had is a number of people who will stay and go through this one-on-one, sometimes three people together, whatever it might be, as we had numbers that we had to work with. And you've learned some things, or at least you've firmed up some things, or at least you know that there's something there that will help you to bring someone else along in those things. Now, the next step in that, don't forget the next step in that. And we said from the beginning, pick out someone that you can pray for, someone that you might not be sure of their salvation, or even if they're a saved person, you say that person could really benefit from being brought along as a disciple and in their understanding of the Word of God. I've asked you to be praying for someone all this time, maybe just one person, but in particular to focus in on one person. Certainly pray for other people, but to focus in on one person. Now, work on getting together with that person if at all possible. We've emphasized being friendly and being helpful and being just a good person, you know, around them so that they're comfortable with you in our evangelism and our discipleship. That we don't want to just be pounding on people necessarily with the gospel, but we want to bring them along and let them understand that we're human like they are, and we walk in the same pathway they walk, and yet we have something that all of us need. We have the Word of God that we can help them to understand. And so if you've progressed for a little ways in this foundations material, please try to really concentrate on bringing someone else into that material. If you haven't done so yet, I encourage you, get involved in this. It will give you just a tremendous foundation yourself and an ability that many people don't think they have. As I said in the beginning, and some of you weren't here, but I've seen people who have used this particular plan, if you will. I have seen people do this who stood up to give testimony about what it meant to them to be able to be involved in this and some of the results that God has brought along. And I've seen some of them who could barely stand up in front of a few people and give that testimony. They were extremely nervous. They were not gifted with the gift of gab like the pastors and all of that. You know, they didn't have that. They had a hard time expressing themselves off the cuff, if you will, and giving that kind of test. Some of them very difficult time. They wanted to do it. They wanted to give a testimony. They wanted to give glory to God for the things that he's done through that plan. But it was hard for them. They struggled. And you can say, now that person, I would never expect them to be a disciple maker. I would never expect them to be able to, just humanly speaking, to be able to bring along a young Christian, let alone bring someone into the knowledge of Christ. And yet there they were doing it because someone brought it down into a format that was simple enough that anybody can do. And so you've done it with each other, those that you've done it. You've sat down with someone else and you have not taught it. We established it to where you would be a leader and that the leadership would just switch back and forth so that nobody's in charge and nobody's trying to teach somebody else. But the leader then would just guide the process as the two or three of you, however many it was, would work through this information. And I encourage you with all my heart to keep thinking about that one person. Maybe some others, but especially that one person who needs to be brought in, specifically if they need to be brought to Christ. And then if they already know Christ, but they need to be brought into the fellowship of the Word of God, try to use this plan, or at least think about using this plan. Make this a way that you may feel inadequate, but there is a way to do this. Now, if you can get them here to do it, that's great. We're doing it here, it's here, but as I've said from the beginning as well, if you have a way that will work better for you and that person, do it. Just the main thing is to get them under the sound of the Word of God. Get them into the Word of God and studying it and understanding it. Keep going in what you're doing. And you're saying, well, the book's going to end. There's only so much in the book. There are other books, all right? But that's not the main issue. The main issue is that by the time you finish that book, you really should have enough information, and especially right there in front of you in the book, the things that you've filled out, the thoughts that you've put into it yourself, that you can take somebody else right from the beginning or wherever they happen to be, take them from where they are through the book yourself. So it's a revolving thing. It's not just for you to be the Dead Sea, all right? It's not for you to just take in and take in and take in, as wonderful as that is. And as important as it is for each one of you, each one of us, to continue to grow in our Christian walk, there is more to it than that. As Brother PV mentioned this morning in their work on the mission field, and sometimes I'm afraid we get this idea that that's the place that those things are done. My friends, those things are done where people are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, because the commandment did not go out to PV and Aruna. The commandment did not go out to Alan Newton. The commandment did not go out to any group of people or any certain kind of person or the person with the gift of gab or the person with the most wonderful personality or whatever it might be. The command came to the church of Jesus Christ, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's for you to do. It's not for you just to take in. It is for you to do. As much as it is for me, as much as it is for the Josephs, as much as it is for anybody else on this planet, it is for you to do. And all I've tried to do with this program, plan, I don't like to call it a program because a program usually has a beginning and an end. This is something that can just keep going. But this plan, the reason that I tried to bring it in here was so that I can do my job as a pastor, which we studied from the very beginning and we saw in Ephesians chapter 4. That as a pastor, as a missionary, as anything in this thing we call the ministry, Our purpose is not to be the one who does all of the bringing or all of the teaching or all of the evangelizing, but our job is to prepare and equip the saints of God to do the work of the ministry. I hope that in some small way I've been able to do that with you. I truly hope that I've been successful in some way in that. I can't make anyone do it. I can't, I wouldn't if I could. I can't make any one of you even consider this plan, this foundation's plan. But I'm begging you to do so. I'm begging you to take advantage of something that doesn't even require you to have a pastor here. How about that? You'll have a pastor soon. You will. I'm convinced God has placed in my heart this truth and this confidence in Him that He's going to provide for you, and that I don't think it's going to be as long as you might worry that it would be. I don't know, but it's what I sense. But in the meantime, take advantage of a moment where you see that you can do the work of the ministry. The command has gone out to you, to each and every one of us who claim to be children of God. It's gone to all of us. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to talk just a little bit this morning about relationships. And I would like to present to you this morning that if anybody doesn't know, in case you're here for the first time or whatever, and you don't know what's going on, this is my last Sunday here as pastor. And I've been on my way out for a couple of months now. I gave my notice a couple of months ago, but this is it. This is the final day. And so it's a little bit emotional and a little bit complicated for me, but we want to present the Word of God today. I'm not leaving because I'm mad at anybody. I'm not leaving because I'm I guess that's the best way to say it, because I'm mad at anybody. I'm leaving because I'm convinced in my heart that it's time for me to move on, and God has put a few things in front of me that I do know that looks like I'm supposed to do, but not a whole lot yet, and that's okay. I'm at a place in my life where it's time for me to take another step, and like I say, I know a few details. I'm going to take those and trust that God's going to show me the rest, and I'm not really worried about that. Probably doesn't sound right. He's not too smart. This guy should be really worried right now. But the emotion of it, of course, is very difficult after over 30 years in the ministry to say that I'm not going to be in the ministry, as far as I know, going forward. I don't plan to, but again, I don't know what God's going to do. But I don't anticipate that. I think my time there is over. Never thought I would think that way, but God brought circumstances and different things into my life to direct me that way. So if I'm a little off this morning, or if I'm just a little bit emotional or whatever it is, you'll understand that's the reason why. I have a challenge for you that is a goodbye challenge, and that's not an easy thing to do. So in chapter 13, let's just begin with the first couple of verses here. Actually, the first three verses to start out with. He says, let brotherly love continue. I hope you're in Hebrews 13 with me. If you don't have a Bible, there's one under the pew in front of you. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Simple truths here in a way, and yet some pretty amazing things that are stated as well. Let brotherly love continue. In other words, he's talking to folks who are brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking to a specific audience, and we've seen that throughout the book of Hebrews. We know that the target of the book of Hebrews is, of course, we can see it in the name, is Jewish folk, but these are converted Jewish folk to Christianity. These are believers in Jesus Christ. This is not a particularly evangelistic sort of book, although the gospel is in it, but it's mostly to us who are believers in Jesus Christ. And he knows that there's brotherly love amongst them. And I would just echo what the Apostle Paul, I believe it is, but whoever it is who wrote the book of Hebrews, I would echo what the writer says here, let brotherly love continue. I have seen in this church many examples of true brotherly love. And it's taken on many different forms. And it's exciting and it's encouraging. And It's a good sign. It's a sign of a healthy church. It's a sign of a church who has struggled through things but has not quit, who's kept their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ intact individually and as a group. And I've seen you bind together, and I've seen you help those who needed help. You've shown great brotherly love to me, and of course to my wife before she passed, and even to other members of my family who've passed through here. And I have to thank you with all my heart for that. But I've seen you show brotherly love to each other as well. And it's very real. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And thank you. It's very real. And I just want you to take this admonition from the book here as well. It says, let that continue. A Christian who ceases to love, folks, that's really the only thing that will stop you in your walk with the Lord. The only thing. If you cease to love, I've said it, I don't know how many times here, but I'm going to say it one more time. Love and hate are not the opposites. The opposites, I believe this with all my heart from studying the Word of God for all these years, the opposite of love is selfishness, because love is giving. Love is helping those who need help. Love is doing what God places on your heart for someone else. If you lose love, if you lose this brotherly love, if it does not continue in you, if it does not continue in this church, you will be selfish. That's the only other option. You will be looking at whatever's coming along the way and saying, how does this affect me? Not how does God want to use this for me to bless someone else. Those are the options. So the admonition is simple, but the admonition is deep. Let brotherly love continue. I've traveled all over the world. I've traveled all over the United States. I say all over the world. I haven't been to your part yet. But I have a lot of friends from that area. But in my travels, I've seen a lot of road signs. There are things about Pennsylvania that I do like. You know, there are. There are other things I'm not so crazy about, but that's true everywhere, right? I've even learned a few Dutchy words, you know, even though I wasn't fetched up here. I've learned a little bit. I can say Don and Ot and things like that, you know. But I love the road signs here in Pennsylvania, though. The first time I noticed these things, they cracked me up. Do not tailgate! I mean, somewhere else in the country, you might see a sign that says, please maintain an adequate distance from the vehicle in front of you, you know. No, Pennsylvania's not that way. It's like, do not tailgate. All these little places where the speed limit drops down, the sign just says, slow down! Not watch your speed or please maintain a proper, you know. No, none of that. Pennsylvania's like, pfft. So this is a Pennsylvania verse here, okay? This is a Dutchy verse, if you will. Let brotherly love continue. There's no ambiguity, all right? There's no, hey, you know, if things are going well, if circumstances warrant, and if you just think you can, well, you should love your brothers. I don't know what it says. This is a Pennsylvania road sign, folks. Let brotherly love continue. This is a command. This is a direct order from the commander-in-chief. And then he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And what a crazy, crazy verse this is, right? What's the rest of it say? For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. What? I mean, it's just a simple one little verse, boom. And all of a sudden we have this whole new thought process about angels, right? You know, the beginning of the book of Hebrews talked about angels, and it talked about not worshiping them, being careful in how we interact with the spirit world, all right? And a lot of teaching there basically in chapter 1 and 2 about angels and things. And here he brings angels back in, and just in this one quick, you know, statement, it's like he's getting to the end. I've got to make some statements. I've got to get this out. Make sure you take care of people. Make sure that you are hospitable, right? And he said, you don't even know. You don't even know. If somebody that you're helping out might not even be an angel. Now, where do you go with that? We see a lot of examples in the Old Testament of angels showing up. Sometimes they're recognized, sometimes they're not. We saw in Sunday school last week how that Balaam's donkey recognized the angel, and Balaam himself was like, well, I don't see anything. I'm not going to explain everything about angels because I don't understand everything about angels, but there is something here stated as a straight up fact that, you know, if you're entertaining folks, if you're taking care of people, if you're being hospitable, you could be interacting with the spirit world. You don't know. The positive side of it, of course, with angels. Why would God do that? I don't know. I've been in some situations. I don't know if you ever have. I've been in some situations where I look back and I go, I wonder if that was an angel. Sometimes they were protecting me, and sometimes I was doing something for them, but sometimes these people just seem to show up out of nowhere, either when I need them or when they need me, and then the situation is resolved and I never see or hear from them again. I'm not telling you they were angels. I don't know. All I know is angels are real. God has created this huge army of beings who serve him directly, and they're real. And this is just another reminder of that. Just don't forget, be not forgetful, another command, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And he's not saying this just so that we'll be like, oh, I wonder if they're an angel. Maybe I should do this. I don't believe that's the issue. It just seems like kind of an afterthought, to be honest. You know, entertain, take care of people, right? Do for people like they need to have done for them. You you don't even know what's going on behind the scenes is kind of the idea. You don't really know what God's doing with all of this. There might even be some angels involved in all of this. And that's all we get. That's the end of the story here. But it's pretty deep in and of itself, too. But here's a relationship with our brothers in Christ, and we're going to develop that a little bit more. But then we have a relationship that could spill over into the spiritual world, and that's one of those things that just we have to be super careful with, of course. And we talked about that and make sure that we don't get to the point where we're obsessed with the whole idea of the spiritual world and obsessed with the idea of angels and demons and those kinds of things. They're realities, but they're not everything in our life, and they're not things that necessarily we have to deal with on a daily basis. But the reality of it is important to keep in mind, the fact that these things are going on and that we do live in I don't want to get too sci-fi on you, but in a parallel universe situation, you know, of the physical and the spiritual. These things are real. And so when we're reminded here, we shake our heads and go, whoa, what? But it does remind us that there is something outside of this physical that we know of. It's good to keep in mind. And then he goes on in verse 3, and he goes back then to our relationship with other people. And that's an important relationship, isn't it? Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. Those who are in jail for some reason. We really could think of the bondage here in some other ways, and I don't want to go stray too far from what's being said. But there's a lot of kinds of bondage, aren't there? There are a lot of kinds of bondage. I was talking with someone this morning about drug addiction, and they have a lot of family members who are involved in drugs and having problems in and out of drug situations, and it's a horrible thing. But those of us who are not, you know, those of us who are good people, you know, a lot of times we look down on people like that. Oh, you must be weak, or you must be whatever. You must be just a bad person, or whatever. It's a bondage, isn't it? It's a bondage. It's something like so many other areas of our life that can grip us and hold on to us and control us. And it's a very sad one indeed. But they need supernatural help for that kind of bondage. But he said, remember those who are bound. And I know I'm sure he's talking specifically in that bondage about the physical bondage. And again, we think of the Apostle Paul and many other early believers who were put in prison for the sake of the gospel, for preaching about Jesus Christ. And we know that that continues to this very day in many parts of the world. In many parts of the world. And then we see, as we spread out our spiritual sight as well, we see so many who are bound in spiritual darkness, who are bound in that place where they just don't know where to turn. As PV testified to this morning, when he was a teenager and he got to that place and didn't know where to turn. There are people probably we rub shoulders with, maybe not daily, but very often. Many of them were probably closer and closer to that kind of thought. It's running rampant. We know it from statistics, but statistics are statistics. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about people you know. I'm talking about people you meet. I'm talking about people that we come in contact with on a daily basis who are desperate in their life, but a lot of their desperation comes from not knowing where their future lies. I cannot imagine at this time of my life as a believer in Jesus Christ and with all the wonderful promises that I have from the Bible, I cannot imagine facing the thought of my demise and wondering what's going to happen to me afterwards. Or even worse, those who believe, or at least say they do, that at the end of this life there's nothing. That would horrify me. And I think it horrifies them. And we have the answer. We have the revelation. We have the message that tells the truth about this life, the spiritual life, the continuation of life. We have the message that explains all of that from the one who knows everything. And he's conveyed it to us in the Word of God. Remember them that are in bonds is bound with them. Feel what they feel. Love in a real way. Don't be selfish about those who are in need around you, whether it's physical or spiritual or mental or whatever it might be, whatever their issue is, emotional. Don't just act like they're the ones that have a problem. Where's the love? Where's the love? Are we selfish? Do we just walk on by? And them that suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. I've seen a great, great number of examples of that in this body. And again, I appreciate that very much as those who suffer are helped in a great way because there's love in this church. Let brotherly love continue. But with all of this, let's skip down to verse 5. This is a great and great, great, great relationship. They cannot say anything negative about a relationship where brothers and sisters in Christ love one another and do things according to these verses. But we skip down to verse number 5, and it says, let your conversation, that means your lifestyle, be without covetousness. There's part of that selfishness thing, wanting for me. Covetousness, wanting what somebody else has, and be content with such things as you have. Ow! That's un-American. All right. You take that or leave it, whatever. Be content with such things as you have. And here's the reason. Here's the reason, and here's the way. For he hath said, I love those words. We started out this book with, in the old days, God spoke through all these different ways and through the prophets and different times and on and on. And in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can you really, from your heart, say today that if every physical thing was taken away from you at this moment, you would still be like Job and look up? You could be like David in the caves, hiding from those who would take his life, and lift up your eyes and say, God, you are to be praised. Circumstances are not. Circumstances are not what determines, can we say that? What determines my faith, what determines my happiness, what determines my peace. Circumstances, things, whatever it might be. Can we look up and say, what matters to me is that he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me. So the relationship with others can be transitory. I'm abandoning you. I'm walking off. I don't do it lightly. I do it with great pain in my heart, but with, again, the belief that it's the right thing. But here we have personal relationships amongst us which have been precious and will continue to be so. But they're going to change. It's not going to be the same. But there's one who is going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is better than any relationship you can have with any human being. I say that after suffering the loss of my wife and thinking that nothing could ever be worse than that. But there are things worse. And if I was in that bondage that told me that I would never see her again, I would never see my Lord, I would never have eternal life, and my life would either just end or I would be in punishment forever, any of those things, I would be desperate. But he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. And so that relationship. When my wife came out about 5 years ago now from the first doctor's office in Portugal, after receiving the news that something very bad was wrong, she came to me with a look on her face. They wouldn't let me in the office. It's Portugal. It's the way they do things. She came out and she had a look on her face I'll never forget. And she said, "It's not good." And I grabbed her and I held her and we cried. And I said something that I'm not even sure why I said it at the time. And I haven't told very many people this, so. But it impacted me and it still impacts me. I said, "I love you too much." I don't know what I meant by that completely. But over the years, God has touched my heart with the idea that possibly, I have placed her even above the Lord sometimes. I don't say that God punished me by taking her. I don't believe that. But it has opened my eyes to some things, and it has helped me to come to him in a different way and to throw myself on him in a different way and to really dig down and see what do I really believe about my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I love someone else too much? If I place them above him, I can. No matter how precious the relationship is, the relationship with Jesus Christ is better. Verse 4 talks about that one that I just spoke of. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. There's such a precious, precious bond between a man and a wife if they have created one in Christ. But no matter how deep it goes, how sweet and how precious it is, there's one that is better. I don't know if I would have said that a few years ago. I mean, I would have. I don't know if I would have believed it as much as I do now. Verse 6 says, "So we may boldly say, because he will never leave us or forsake us, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And then he goes to verse 7 and talks about this relationship that is being severed today. "Remember them which have the rule over you." And we've done studies on that. I'm not supposed to be a dictator or anything like that. But there's a sense in which I rule for a few more minutes over you. And that sense is that I have been tasked with presenting to you what the Word of God says and upholding what this church believes. And so in that sense, I rule over you. "Remember them which have the rule over you, who spoke unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation," again, lifestyle. I have to be super careful here, but I want you to see the wording, "whose faith follow." No one should ever follow me or any other pastor blindly. No one should ever follow me or any other pastor to the point of saying whatever he says, that has to be right. But when you see a pastor with confidence that the Bible is the very word of God and is to be followed and can be followed, and you see that exemplified in him, not perfectly, cast off everything that you've seen of me that has not shown you the reality of faith in Christ. I know there are things. I'm not going to get into details. But I know I have not been 100% everything I should have been as your pastor. I understand that. I ask you to throw that away at this point. And I ask you to focus on any areas that I might have exemplified faith in God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying here. And what is the end of our faith, our end of our conversation, the end of our lifestyle? Verse 8, Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. As we've said, we've talked about, and we all know, the fact that I'm leaving does not mean that this church ceases to exist, and it certainly does not mean that the Lord Jesus Christ has abandoned you or me. The same. Yesterday, today, forever. Verse 9, another one of those Pennsylvania road signs, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And we're going to talk just for a quick moment here about what comes after that. But be not carried away with... People, there are so many. Diverse means many different kinds. And they are, some of them are strange doctrines. And I've endeavored during my time here to preach to you the truth that the Bible gives us. And I declare to you once more today that there is nothing, according to the Word of God, that you can do to be right with God on your own and of yourself. But that God has done everything necessary for every person on this planet who ever lived or will live to come to Him and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He's done it all. He said, "It is finished. It is completed." Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins. He rose again the third day, victorious over your death and over my death, over hell, and over all the penalty for all sins. So don't come with me with these divers and strange doctrines. I will not have it, and you should not either. The admonition is, be not carried about. Don't let that... Oh, but that sounds pretty good. Well, you better check it out and make sure. You better make sure. When they come and say, yeah, you need to get saved by grace through faith, but then you're going to have to do good works in order to keep it. You say, that's a strange doctrine. It's not in the Bible. It's strange from the doctrine of the Bible. If they come to you and say, you must do this or this or this or this religiously or whatever in order for God to love you or for you to be saved or for you to continue to be saved or whatever it is, you tell them that's strange from what the Bible says. That's foreign to what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. Yes, He'll correct you. Yes, He'll help you to stay in the way. Yes, He will encourage you to do what is right at all times. He will encourage you to be a member of a good church. He will encourage you to be baptized because that's what He has commanded. He will encourage you to live right, to have a good conversation to the very end. He will encourage you in every one of those areas. But if you do not, He still will not leave you nor forsake you, for you are His son or His daughter if you place your faith in Him. Anything else is a strange doctrine. It's foreign to what the Bible teaches. Don't be led astray. Don't be led astray. You know I speculate sometimes. I'm not going to do that now. But I tell you when I speculate, do I not? I think maybe this, or don't you let a speculation become a doctrine. That's dangerous stuff. Let the word speak for itself. He talks about the altar and the bodies of the beasts and all these things as he gets into just kind of reminding about how Jesus is better than the old covenant, how Jesus is the fulfillment of all the sacrifice and all the religious aspects that came with the old covenant. But then he goes on, he says in verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In other words, Jesus was killed outside of the city itself. He was taken out to a hill on the edge of the city, but he was taken out to be sacrificed sacrificed, and that's where the dirty sacrifices were made for the Jewish people as well, the ones that no one wanted to look upon. They had to be taken outside of the city and dealt with out there, and all of the awful and all of the nasty stuff that had was burned up out there before the true altar could come into the sanctuary and be offered. And Jesus Christ took even that. He took the very lowest of the sacrifice, the very completeness of the sacrifice for us. He went without the camp. Those are deep words, because they mean that he did everything that any sacrifice could have ever pictured. And then he says, for here, let's go on out with him. Let's go on out. Let's follow him outside the camp. Can I say sometimes doing the work of God means you have to get your hands dirty? Sometimes you have to get out there where things are rough. Sometimes, if you're really going to serve God, he will call upon you to actually sacrifice. Not just tip God out of what he's given you, but actually to sacrifice. I'm not just talking financially, I'm talking about in some area of your life. He said, follow him out there. Follow him out there, because verse 14, the reality is, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You may have a beautiful house. I don't begrudge you that. You may not. Whatever you do have is from God. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying it and saying, this is lovely, and look what God has done. Wonderful. But let me tell you something. Jesus is better. Jesus is better than any place. When we get to that city, when we get to, it's not going to be Florida, which is nice enough, right? When we get to that city, there's so many things to try to grasp about that. But the one thing that stands out to me, again, above it all, and it's so neat that it is above it all, no need for the sun, moon, and stars in that city. We're told, for Jesus is the light thereof. He permeates all of heaven. So wherever you live, wherever you might want to live, maybe you have a dream home or a dream place. And mine would probably be out in the mountains of Wyoming or something. You know, I just love that kind of thing. But you know what? There's a place that's better, because Jesus is all over it and all through it. Never forget that. Verse 20, again, he talks a little bit more earlier on in 17 and such about the pastor situation. But you've got someone much better than Pastor Allen, and you've got someone much better than any pastor you'll ever have, and he won't leave you. He won't forsake you. Verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, that one who is much better than Pastor Allen, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom and to him only be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for all of the gifts and well wishes here towards the end. Thank you for all the wonderful comments that you've made here at the end. Thank you for whatever time you've been here coming to this church, for what you've meant to me, each one of you individually and together as a group. You will not be forgotten. You all have my phone number. And you're welcome to call or text anytime you want. I mean that. And I love you from the bottom of my heart. And I believe with all my heart that yes, God will take care of you much better than I ever could. God bless you, my friends. See you soon.